A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to Him, to love the name of the Lord and to be His servants. All who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them, besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
A reading from Matthew. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. That's the wrong one, just now. I knew right away. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Then the disciples approached and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain this parable to us. Then he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Never underestimate the power of a persistent woman and the God in whom she believes. I wish I had said that, but that's not original. I think it's brilliant, but it's not original. Never underestimate the power of a persistent woman and the God in whom she believes. The story of the Canaanite woman coming to Jesus for help can be a somewhat disturbing story if read in isolation. And the preceding verses about things that defile makes it even odder. So I think that there are some really important assumptions that we must claim to get into this story. Number one, the Bible always has to be read within the context of the Bible. Number two, stories about Jesus always have to be read within the context of everything that Jesus said and did. And number three, gospel stories always have to be read within the context of the whole gospel that they are found in. Let me unpack those assumptions. The Bible always has to be read within the context of the whole Bible. From the beginning, the biblical story of God's love and faithfulness is about the inclusion of all people. If anyone tells you that God's love and faithfulness is not about the inclusion of all people, they are talking about a different God. In Genesis, God made a covenant with Abraham and Sarah that they would be father and mother of a particular people to be in a special relationship with God. The particular people that God set apart had a particular purpose. They were blessed to be a blessing to all the nations. Later, God called Moses to form that particular people into a priestly people to bless all people. God took particular care to detail how strangers and aliens should be welcomed and treated. Now, it is true that in Deuteronomy, God set some limits on who was welcome to the assembly of the Lord. Specifically, eunuchs and foreigners weren't welcome. But then later, speaking through Isaiah, as we just heard, God specifically lifted that exclusion. The verses from our reading from Isaiah that were omitted, for whatever reason, specifically say, "Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord, say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And do not let the eunuch say, 'I am just a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, 'To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.'" And then from our reading, "The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." God's activity has always been moving towards the inclusion of all people. Assumption two. Stories about Jesus always have to be read within the context of everything that Jesus said and did. Jesus himself said that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus so that all might be saved through him. And the Canaanite woman wasn't the only woman or foreigner that Jesus had contact with. Jesus reached across all the boundaries of gender and race and authority and sinfulness and social class to proclaim the good news. Even in the verses prior to this story, Jesus said that keeping the traditions of the elders wasn't what God wanted from people. God wanted people's hearts. All people. Even the ones who thought they were righteous. And number three assumption. Gospel stories always have to be read within the context of the whole gospel they are written in. Matthew's gospel begins with the genealogy of Jesus. And do you know who Matthew names in Jesus' family tree? Three Canaanite women, Rahab, Tamar, and Ruth. If Jesus joined Ancestry.com, there was definitely going to be Canaanite DNA there. In Matthew's gospel, the first people to recognize who Jesus is are wise men from the east. They knelt down and paid homage to the baby Jesus. In the very next story, Jesus' parents had to flee with him and live as refugees in Egypt. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus' announcement of his ministry included the Gentiles, the word used for all non-Jews. Jesus healed the servant of a Roman centurion, and the Romans were the occupying enemy forces of Jesus' country. There was no demonstration of exclusivity until this story. So what's going on? Jesus was in a foreign place. And a Canaanite woman came and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." If you remember last Sunday's gospel story from Matthew, I jogged your memory there a little bit when I started reading it earlier. The story from Matthew of Jesus walking on water. You recall that his closest companion, Peter, doubted that Jesus was who he said he was. What a contrast that this woman, who had probably only heard about Jesus, believed that he was Lord and that he was merciful. Oddly, Jesus met her request with silence. I don't know why Jesus did that, but I do know how it feels to make a request of someone and get no response. It stings, and it doesn't especially promote further action. The disciples responded. They thought Jesus should send her away because she was just so annoying. When Jesus did respond, it was with a really odd statement. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I don't know why Jesus said that. It sounds harsh, but it wasn't theologically wrong. Jesus was sent to the Jews, but he had already said and demonstrated that God's plan was really much bigger than that. So first she gets silence and then a harsh answer, and yet the Canaanite woman persists. She kneels in front of Jesus and pleads again, "Lord, help me." Then Jesus said an even more disturbing thing. "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." That sounds ugly, if not downright racist, which the disciples would likely have agreed with. And still she persisted. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. If there wasn't a place for her at the table of the one she called Lord and associated as Master, she would be satisfied with the crumbs of what he was offering. She probably didn't know the stories of Abraham and Moses and Isaiah, but her request was certainly in line with them. She reflected God's own mission, Jesus' own mission, back at him. And when she did that, she became an example of just the kind of faith Jesus had been talking about. He announced that her faith was great. And he granted the mercy she sought, which was the healing of her daughter. Never underestimate the power of a persistent woman and the God in whom she believes. This is not a story about exclusion or who is not welcome at the table. This is a story about the inclusion of all people in the kingdom of God, a message our world desperately needs. If anyone tells you the kingdom of God doesn't include all people, they are talking about a different God. This is a story about the persistent faith that Jesus wants from us. This is a story about believing Jesus really is who he says he is. This is a story of a Lord and Savior with abundant mercy for all people. Amen.